narrated from Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said, when a fly falls in the drink of one of you, he should fly dead. Should, F-U-L-L-Y, fully dip. He should fully dip it. It's getting foggy from my sweating now. He should fully dip it in.
It's better.
Dip it. And then throw it away, because there is disease in one of his wings and cure in the other. There is another narration, okay, this collection, this in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari. In other narration, that it means a fly protects itself with the diseased wing by dipping it first in a drink. Okay, some of us maybe think, why we talking about flies and talk about dog eating in the plate? And because we're still talking about the subject of water, and all the things is still related to water. Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the fly fall in your drinks. Your drinks can be water, and the water is what you make an wudu with. So it may somebody feel that now became impure, because you know the flies goes everywhere. Things if you cannot imagine, okay? Some of you saw the fly where it goes, and goes every here and there, okay? So some will say, okay, now the flies came in my water, what I'm going to do now? Can I make wudu from it? Can I drink it? So this applies to the water, and this is the reason that we discuss in this hadith, in this subject. And this hadith, one of the prophecies of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because that we understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grew in an area which is no labs, computers, technology, all the things that we're talking about, okay? And for the Prophet ﷺ to indicate things like this, and until recently some people used to reject this hadith, although that is in collection of Imam al-Bukhari, they used to feel embarrassed and they used to reject this hadith because they're so concerned, how you can tell people about things like this, dip the fly in your water and take it out, okay? And recently they discover these germs that in one of the wings of the fly, and the other side, the other wing, is the cure for the same germs in this wing, okay? And this to shows you that we need to trust the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As long as the hadith is authentic, this it doesn't matter now if the people will accept it or not accept it. Can you believe it? Can you imagine? Because the way of the people of Salaf, the people of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people who follow the Sirat al-Mustaqim, they put the Nas before Al-Aql. They put the statement of Allah and His Messenger before the mind, okay, before the logic. When you put the logic before the statement, you will have a big trouble of accepting Islam and accepting part of what is in Islam. Why? Because everything you're going to try to go to what is, does this make sense or no? Is it how? Okay, there is nothing called how. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala able to do all things. So don't ask how, because how, this is not yours. Is what's for you is to believe. Okay, so as long as a verse from the Quran or authentic hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're supposed to accept it. Now maybe later on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you that you get the understanding, but regardless you got it or no, still you accept it. So the mind is limited, and the mind is one of the senses, like vision, like hearing. Vision have a limitation and hearing have a limitation. Is this true? Okay? This is the reason one, like myself, I'm wearing a glasses, okay? But some of you will read the book without a glasses and can even see until Gervais without glasses. Why? Because, not because I'm blind, but my limitation or my capability of seeing is not like your capability. The same thing, the mind of a human being is different. And the human being, there is something beyond the ability of all the human being to understand. So what's he going to do? They have to submit, to accept. Okay? They have to accept and to submit. Especially about things about the miracles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give khutbah in the beginning on trunk of a tree, palm tree. You know, when you cut the palm tree and there is a small piece, a stump, okay? He used to stand there or sit on it and give the lecture, okay? And when the people became a crowd and a big number, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took a member, okay? Like what you see there, this is called member. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed from the palm tree or the stump of the palm tree and sat on the member, the stump was like what you call this noise that somebody,
it was weeping,
like yes, what you call this?
Whimpering.
Huh? حن الجزع لفراق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. عمر رضي الله عنه يقول بأبي أنت وأمي يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لقد كنت تخطب الناس على جزع نخلة فلما كثر الناس اتخذت منبرا لتسمعهم فحن الجزع لفراقك فأمتك كانت أولى بالحنين إليك. So it says that, O Prophet of Allah, that you used to reach the people on the stump, and when the people became crowd, you took the member, and this stump, it felt like, you understand, like a baby crying. What was the word again?
Whimpering.
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and he put his hand on the stump and he stopped crying. You see. And to some people, and also one of the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took a little bit of water and he put his hand in it, because there was no water except a little bit to drink, and the whole army, and he put his hand and the water started coming between his fingers, and everybody coming drinking and making wudu. To some people, when he tells them something like, say, ah, come on man, give me a break, get alive, what are you talking about? Okay. Why? Because they compare and they call everything to their logic, to their mind. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the water come from rocks. He could not make it come from a human being between his fingers. You see? So this hadith, it caused a problem, not to a regular Muslim like me and you, some scholars. I don't want to mention names, okay? Some scholars with so-called PhD degree and coming from Azhar and all these things, they made a big fuss about this hadith. This could not be in Sahih al-Bukhari, this could not be hadith, the Prophet doesn't say this, if the Prophet says something like this, and all kind of stuff, you see? But later on, when the kuffar, they discover this, now some of these Muslims coming clapping now and happy for it. You don't have to wait for the kuffar to discover something to believe Allah or to believe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling you that you don't have to spoil your drink, because sometimes maybe you buy a drink, it costs $2-3, okay? Or maybe this is the only little bit of water that you can have to drink, and in a desert, because a fly fell in it, what you going to do? Okay? So now you don't have to waste this water, and also you could not get harm. So the Prophet ﷺ said, fully dip it, and after this take it and throw it away. Why? So you can equalize or even the poison with the cure. Okay? So now the what you call equalized or naturalized itself, so it's not going to harm you anymore. Okay? And in another narration said, the fly, when it about to fall, he used this wing okay, which has a disease, okay, it seems that it has more protection for him. So he voted first to fail in it. Okay, like some people, there is a special way when you fall, how you're supposed to fall. If I'm not sick, I will show you how to do it, okay? So you don't not break your to try to break the fall. You know how, okay? So there is a certain way how you're supposed to fall, and you should learn it. Is it, Mustafa?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the fly has this technique that when it's about to fall, that try to put this wing first, and this wing that put it first is the one that has the disease. So now if you take the fly and throw it out, what's in the cup? The disease only, okay? It can poison you, it can make you sick. So the Prophet ﷺ say, by dipping it now, it became equal and there's no harm will happen from this. Well, it seems that, inshallah, I'm going to let you go home tonight, because I didn't start my new class, which is supposed to be about vessels. But I have one hadith and we can finish this subject, and if you want to go home, it's up to you after this. It seems longer tonight, maybe because I'm not feeling good, but I know that it's not longer because I didn't make an hour yet. The last hadith that I have in this chapter, inshallah, which is number 13, and this hadith reported by Abi Waqid Al-Laythi radiyallahu an, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma quti'a min al-bahima wa hiya hayya fahuwa mayyitun. Akhrajahu Abu Dawud wa Tirmidhi wa hassanahu wa lafdhu lah. Okay, hadith rakam 13. This hadith, its isnad is hasan, is good. It can be elevated to the degree of sahih because other ahadith. And it is also in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Sunan Abu Dawood and Imam Tirmidhi. And all of them came from hadith Abdul Rahman ibn Abdullah ibn Dinar, from Zayd ibn Aslam, from Ata ibn Yasar, an Abi Waqid al-Laythi. Qal, Qadima Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there is a story there. And the hadith been authenticated by Sheikh al-Albani, hafizahullah. From this hadith, we understand that anything be taken from animal, life animal, halal animal. Life and halal animal, okay? Because haram animal, like pig as example, regardless if alive or dead, we don't have anything to do with it, okay? But we're talking about a life and halal animal, like camel as example, or a cow. So this hadith is telling us that whatever you take from the halal animal, okay, while the animal is still alive, that this piece that you cut is considered mayta, is a dead, okay? That means it takes the hukm and the ruling of dead animal, okay? Whatever that you separate from alive, lawful animal while still alive, okay? And you take it for purpose of eating it or cooking with it, it takes the ruling of dead animal, and we understand that dead animal is haram. With exception, there is something they call it fa'rat al-misk, okay? This they took it, I think they take it from the deer, ghazal, okay? There is some piece in it, and they do the musk, the perfume,
musk.
Clan, where is it? Okay, so if they take this out of the deer, right, this was exception, because this take the category of eggs or milk or hair. Like if you take the wool from the skin of the animal while the animal is alive. Okay, you can make a pillow from it, you can make a coat from it, whatever it is. Okay, you can use it. So this thing also that we they call it farat al misk, is this is the only exception. This is true. This is not eaten, but you're going to use it, because some people they take things to use. Okay, and actually this is like the camel. They can take from the hump of the camel. Any one of you saw the camel before? The hump. You can cut from the hump, and they can take it and used to fry. Okay, like to fry potato or fry anything, hot dogs, shortening, exactly. And also the lamb in our countries, they have something behind it. Okay, and instead of this tail here, a small tail, this have something we call it liya. Medical term, English term, does it has any term? Huh? So it is a place where is the tail? Huh? I don't know, but anyway, is a big piece. Is a fat actually? Okay, and is about that wide and that big. Behind the lamb, okay, like exactly like a tail, okay, but this is big, okay. So people can go and cut from these things, and the animal keep going like this is no problem, and the people go and cook. Another guest come to visit you, and you take the animal, you understand, and you shove another piece, and you fry the egg for them, and somebody else come to visit you, catch the lamb and cut a piece like this, okay.
You're using this thing for pilot.
Yeah, sure. What? Yeah. Oil, like oil, shortening, and some people eat it also, and they get diarrhea after this. Yeah.
Yeah, food poisoning.
Yeah. No, it's good. It tastes good. It is good. Okay. It's still alive. Yes. Yes. You could not take it, because there is one main thing here, that Islam discourage inflicting pains on yourself or others or even animals, even harmful animals. When you kill it, you're supposed to kill it one time. Don't try to make it suffer. Torturing, you know what I mean, to torture the animal, cut the wing first, and after this you pull the leg, and after this take the tail and poke the eye, and after this finally you die. No, you do not do this. Like a snake as example. Yes, the snake is harmful, but you're supposed to hit it one time and kill it, okay? So these things will cause harm to the animals. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade this. Alright? So whatever been taken from the life, lawful animals while still alive, you could not utilize it, you could not eat it, and will be exactly taken the category of what you call dead animal. I really don't know if this still, but be surprised. There is tribes, you understand, some people in different places, they don't know too much, okay, and they live whatever way they live, okay. Some people they don't know about it. In some places they found people they are not covered until today, okay, men and women. Basically, they have something to cover the private parts, and you'd be surprised if some of them even maybe they consider themselves Muslims. They know little about Islam. Al-Bahima was a definition here that I should give it first. We said this Abu Waqid Al-Laythi, his name is Al-Harith ibn Auf. Al-Laythi, this because he from Layth. Yes, the name of the tribe from Bani Amir ibn Layth. Al-Bahima or animal, this is the term that we use. Mala yufsih wa yamshi ala arba'a. كالجمل والبقرة والجاموسة ومثلها بهيمة. Okay, things which stand in four. Okay,
and doesn't distinguish between things, okay, like goats, animals, all these things. وهي حية while it's still alive. Okay. Basically, we finish, inshallah, this chapter, the first chapter of Bulugh al-Maram. And what I was supposed to talk to you today is concerning al-aniya, utensils or vessels. And small introduction, I'm not going to scare you and tell you I'm going to talk about it tonight. But why we going to talk about utensils and vessels? It has a relationship with the water. Because as example, I have water here. Now we agree that this water is good for drinking or is good for wudu, okay? But what about the vessel itself? Because you see, you don't have wudu, you could not have salah without wudu. And so you have to know about the ruling of water. This is the reason we talk about water. But now we could not have water or keep water or reserve water without containers or whatever it is. So now we're going to be talking about the type of containers, if it's containers or utensils belong to kuffar, if it's made from gold. So it has a relationship indirectly to the water, okay? And inshallah, we is going to be the next class concerning the utensils, or and it's not going to be that long. So there is a possibility that we're going to have two chapters, and I'm saying this for people to go and prepare. So the second chapter will be chapter number 3, and this concerning bab izalat najasa wa bayaniha, concerning nature and cleanliness of najasa, okay, how to remove the impurity and what is najasa or what is impurity, inshallah. This will be our next subject, and after this we come to al-wudu, inshallah. Anybody have any correction or comments? If not, yes, akhi.
About the level and the stain.
Yes.
You say you're not supposed to
eat these
things?
No, I said is halal, is lawful, of lawful animals, okay? Lawful animals, after he kills them, he can eat the liver, okay? And for those people who want to eat delicious liver, I know this is not part of the class, but we can tell you a little bit, home economic. Huh?
Tell us about it.
Okay. Don't cook it too much, okay? And try to cook it with onions, okay? Green onions. And little bit of tomatoes also in the same time. Fried on the fire, okay, you put like a metal thing on it and cut it, slice it, and will be better if it's fresh liver. And after you cook it, okay, halfway, put some lemon in it, okay, a little bit black pepper and salt. And if you don't know how to do this, you bring the liver and come over my house. We can do it in the backyard, so it will be enough for everybody. And I don't want to make you not to come to the next class, but believe it or not, some people, they eat it fresh without cooking. Don't, because we have some sisters here. Because, and especially if they got to know the Imam did this, they are not going to listen to my class anymore. Put it in a bit of bread, okay, but wash it first, okay? Wash it. You don't have to cook it. If you cook it, don't cook it too much. But the liver is very soft without anything, Brother Shabir. So you don't. This may be the goat meat that you have to. Yeah. But liver is something very, very tender. Yeah. Inshallah. I thank you for coming tonight for the class. Jazakumullah khairan. And inshallah, I hope that all of you include Brother Abdullah Samuel in your prayer, because you know that he's in a critical condition in the hospital after this car accident. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him life, if his life better for him, and to take him to him if death is better for him, because his condition is very bad. So please include him in your dua, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And Allah knows best.